Welcome. It is Friday, which means we are going over week six of the college football slate. We're going to talk some prospects. We're going to talk some games. It feels like this week there are more games to talk about than there are pure prospect matchups. And that's not the best thing in the world because the games don't look all that enticing for the most part. Like when it comes to like big time matchups, we're not getting Alabama, Georgia again this week, unfortunately. But there are some interesting ones. There are some interesting teams that are not ranked who we believe might deserve to be ranked, might end up being ranked after this week. So let's dive right into it. What is the game that you think we should start with here? Because I think the first game, I think the first game is on Friday at 9 o'clock, and it is not the Big Ten matchup that is happening.
It's the fun one.
It's the fun one in the fun place, Sin City, Las Vegas, Syracuse versus UNLV. UNLV, a 4-0, 1-0 in the Mountain West, and a 6.5-point favorite against Syracuse. Kyle McCord started off the season pretty hot there in Syracuse, but he now has 5 interceptions already. We are seeing a little bit more of the Kyle McCord that we are used to seeing. The NFL draft talk has completely vanished with him. And Syracuse, still a pretty decent football team overall. UNLV obviously went through a lot in a week. And so it will be interesting to see how they are able to kind of bounce back from that and see if they can get a win over a Big Ten team here.
Yeah. So it will be interesting. And then for UNLV, this is an at-large matchup, right? Like, if UNLV wants to go out and they want to get that at-large bid for the college football playoffs, they got to beat Syracuse. And Syracuse isn't a playoff team, but it's a Power 4 team. And so they're not going to get an at-large bid if they don't win this game. If they don't win this game, it's not going to happen. So, but, you know, their backup quarterback, Haj Malik Williams, came in for Sluka after Sluka, all the NIL stuff, caused him to redshirt. But he came in and he played well. Their offense is a ton of fun. I don't know if I buy that they're 6.5-point favorites, but I think they should be favored in this game. And again, if it comes down to if they want to come out and they want to get that at-large bid, they have to beat one of the few Power 4 teams left on their schedule. So huge matchup for them in terms of playoff implications. They have Ricky White, who's probably their only draft prospect to watch in this game, wide receiver Ricky White, but so that's what I'll be watching for.
Isn't Jalen Catalon there too?
Jalen Catalon is there. Yes. He's like a sixth year now from Arkansas to Texas, or Texas to Arkansas to.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been all over the place.
Let's not forget. I actually liked Tony Grimes' tape before last year, and he transferred there too. I have no clue how he's playing, but that's a name that I recognize on UNLV. I'm going to have to keep an eye on that because I did like his tape.
Yeah, the Jalen Catalon thing is crazy. That was like, oh, this guy might be safety one 3 years ago, and now we're still talking about Jalen Catalon at UNLV. So that's a lot of fun.
I'm looking, I have a little database here, actually, and I'm seeing 2 seventh-year seniors on that football team as well. So that's fun. The transfer portal, COVID years, it so is fun. Insane to try to keep track of all of this. I think the next game that we really need to touch on here is a 12 o'clock game. It's an SEC game. It is between a team who we think might be fraudulent in the SEC against a team who is, they have a lot of talent on the defensive line. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Texas A&M is from freaks, and it will be interesting to see what that offensive line at Missouri is able to do against those freaks on the defensive line for Texas A&M.
Yeah, Armon Membo is probably the draft prospect on Missouri, other than Luther Burden, obviously. But Texas A&M doesn't have any talent in the secondary that's worth highlighting that will be one-on-one with him. But Armon Bembo is the right tackle for Missouri, who, again, probably a guard at the NFL level, but but is playing really well for them right now. But I do think Missouri is a little fraudulent. Texas A&M is actually a favorite in this game, even though they're the 25th team against the 19th in the nation. I'm interested to see how Membo holds up against Scorton and Turner and those guys. But Weigman is still projected to be out in this game, and Marcel Reed has the arm strength of Tom Tupa at Ohio. It'll be interesting to see what happens there, but it should be a good game.
It should be a good game. And I would like to point out, I haven't actually gotten to sit down and watch his tape yet, but another guy who has been in the NFL draft sphere for a long time now as a name is Reuben Fathery. And I don't believe he's given up a single pressure so far this year, according to PFF. So a name to keep track of. Missouri obviously doesn't have, a bunch of names on the defensive line, but it will be interesting to see if Fathery is able to keep that up. And if Texas A&M is able to get a win without their starting quarterback as well. SMU and Louisville, another one. Louisville, man, they were in it until they weren't against Notre Dame, and it kind of all fell apart. I don't know what to do with the ACC in general, but I am very, very excited. Listen, college football, TCU's been there, but TCU is Fort Worth. College football will be more fun if SMU is actually able to recruit that absolute hotbed of DFW and the surrounding area and actually become an ACC contender moving forward. They already have a pretty decent football team, and they've had a pretty decent football team for a few years now. But if they're really able to take advantage of the situation that they are in the ACC, that makes college football more fun. And so for me, I am, as a former DFW resident, also looking for them to be the team.
For sure. I think so too, because you mentioned it. I mean, Florida and Texas are the two pipelines in that state and in that conference. And they're the only Texas school in the ACC. So and they just beat a Florida school pretty handily. And again, Florida State is pretty bad this year, but they are already look like a pretty solid ACC team. It's year one. It's not going to be easy going from a G5 to a P4 level, but they'll be interesting to watch.
And their only loss so far this year is to the undefeated 5-0 number 17 team in the nation, BYU Cougars. So their one loss, I believe, was by 3 in that game. Yes, it was 18-15. So they lost by 3 to the 17th ranked team in the nation. So a lot to look forward to in this game. Is SMU going to be able to do it on the road? We will find out. The next game I want to talk about here, Ole Miss versus South Carolina. I want to see what Rocket's able to do against this Ole Miss team. Another team, Ole Miss, who we think might be a little bit fraudulent in the SEC. They just lost to Kentucky. Kentucky, a very, very weird team overall, got absolutely destroyed by this very South Carolina team. Right. And so for me, I'm very interested in the transitive property here is South Carolina, who I really liked what I saw from them early in the season. Their only loss was to number 16 LSU by 3 points. And they're getting their quarterback back this week. They should have won that LSU game. I'm kind of surprised they're not ranked given how they played against LSU and how they destroyed Kentucky. So interested in this game. I think that this could be one of the upsets of the week. Ole Miss, a 9-point favorite on the road against South Carolina. That's a line that does not make any sense to me. I'm not a betting man. I don't believe it's legal here for me to bet on United States college football here in Portugal. I'm not going through all of those hoops to do it, but if I were a betting man, I would bet on them to win this game straight up, and I would bet on them to cover, obviously.
Yeah, especially when you look at the strength of South Carolina, it's their defensive line. Tonka Hemingway, yes. the phenom, the freshman phenom, the Kyle Kennard kid on the other side, the fifth-year senior Kennard on the other side. Like, and then you look at Ole Miss for the amount of money they spent in the transfer portal on their freaking lineup, and they just completely neglected their offensive line. Just completely neglected the offensive line, and it got them killed against Kentucky, who has a very strong front, defensive front as well. So, like, if they couldn't do it against Kentucky, I South Carolina has, I think, better quarterback play to score a few more points than Kentucky does as well. So I think this defensive front for South Carolina is going to dominate this game.
I think so, too. And listen, Kentucky might have the best defense overall in college football somehow. And they were missing Hairston in that football game as well, which makes it even more peculiar. But you're right, South Carolina, if they have one super-duper strength on the defensive side of the ball, it is their defensive line. What can Jackson Dart do in this game to come out on top and get to 1-1 in the SEC? Because if they go 0-2 in the SEC, it's going to be really tough to come back from that and make a legitimate college football playoff run. The next game here, man, I don't know how Washington is a favorite against Michigan, but they are a 2.5-point favorite against Michigan. I mean, that's doesn't that seem ridiculous? As bad as Michigan's offense is, doesn't that seem insane to you?
It does. Because Washington's offense isn't that great either. And they're starting freaking Will Rogers at quarterback, and they could not score Rutgers in a low scoring game. So it does seem odd to me. It's only 2.5-point favorite. I mean, the over under is 41.5 in this game.
And when I look at this matchup in particular, I'm looking at the Michigan defensive front against Washington's offensive line. And I think if you want to talk about one strength for Michigan, it is obviously that defensive line, which is probably the most dangerous in college football from inside to outside when you're talking about just four dudes. And so for me, it seems like a peculiar line to me. And I just am very interested in seeing what that team is able to accomplish this year with bad quarterback play for the rest of their time there in the Big Ten. But you're looking at Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham, two guys who I think Grant probably a second rounder, but in this class, maybe he goes round one. I think that he's got the talent for it. And then you're talking about Mason Graham, who I think could be a top five pick.
He's filthy. Yeah.
And I tweeted this out. He has hands that I have not seen since Jeffrey Simmons. I don't think that he's as polished as Simmons was coming out, but his hands are as violent, and he is as athletic, and he is bigger than Simmons. Simmons was doing all of that and being a true one technique ability guy at 305 pounds. Mason Graham is doing that at 320 pounds, playing three tech and playing one tech, and they move around a lot there in the Michigan defensive front, but he is a truly impressive athlete and player in this class.
Yeah, he's a freak. He's a freak, and he deserves to go top five. I don't know if he will playing defensive tackle, but he deserves to go top five in this class.
What are the games you really want to talk about? And that's kind of the issue with this week is the games overall are tough.
Yeah, maybe not from a prospect perspective, but Minnesota gave Michigan a run for their money, and I think they'll give USC a run for their money too in the Big Ten this weekend as well. But, you know, Ariante Irsary, I think USC's defense is a lot better. I still don't know if they have a standout player along their defensive front to really challenge Irsary in this game, but how does that look? But yeah, dude, other than that, this slate is a little bare getting down there. You know, Miami, can Miami keep winning? I mean, they almost lost it last week, and you know, we'll see what happens against Cal. Cal's a fun team. They've got a fun little fan base on social media too. It's so funny. I love following the Cal fans, but yeah, that's about it, man. Other than that, how's the Big 12 going to keep cannibalizing itself?
Exactly. I mean, who's is Iowa State going to lose to Baylor this week? I mean, when you look at that, there is one ranked Big 12 football team playing this week. One. It's not a good conference.
No.
And I tweeted this out when I was watching Cincinnati's defense. I think that they should just abolish the entire conference. It's fake football. I'm tired of seeing the 3-2 defense. I'm tired of seeing five-man boxes against 11 personnel with a tight end in line. I hate it. I hate everything about it. It's not real football. It's fake. That's all I have to, like, literally all I have to say this episode. Yeah. It's just not, we want to hype stuff up. We want you guys to listen. We want you guys to watch college football.
Yeah.
We need surprises this week for there to be some really, truly awesome games this week.
It'll be a good weekend to catch up on some tape on prospects we need to catch up on.
That's actually not a bad idea this week. I mean, for me, it's a little bit different because college football here starts at 5 p.m.
Yeah, during your bedtime, yeah.
So I can get a lot of work in even before the college football starts usually. So I will be doing that, watching my son while my wife, I think, paints his room. So
maybe the next week then, since there aren't a lot of matchups you need to be like focusing on prospects, just catch up on last week's games.
Just catch up on last week's games, watch them. You can go over to my site if you want to watch the all 22 of that as well. Little plug there. And then next week we have USC, Penn State. We have Ohio State, Oregon. We got some big games next week. Alabama, South Carolina, Texas, Oklahoma. Red River rivalry is going to be going off next week. So next week we get back into some really, really awesome football. We also have Kansas State and Colorado, 2-4-1 teams, and Ole Miss and LSU. So we will talk at length about week 7 of college football. Week 6 of college football, we're getting you guys out of here in less than 20 minutes. That is the first time that has ever happened for us because we like to yap.
Yeah. But
that is all I got, man. I love you guys as always. I'm going to let Corey take us out of this one.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I got too. Up on my Substack, daftondraft.substack.com. I officially launched this year's charting project as well. So if you're interested in who the most accurate quarterback in the class is, in an article even describing the flaws of the system and the limitations of the system and how it's calculated and things like that, go read that. Go check it out. There's a link to the actual Google Drive where I'm uploading those PDFs in real time, updating them every week, deleting out the old ones, bringing in the new ones. Yeah, so if you're interested in who the most accurate quarterbacks in the class are,
He's got two small children. I have one small child. Let us feed our families, donate to his Substack, donate to my Patreon, get some football content while you're at it. Listen to this podcast, watch this podcast on YouTube. Corey,
we're starving, feed our families, but that's all we've got. Until next time, we are the Dapped on Draft Podcast.